The text for our sermon this morning is from the gospel reading just read, and that hymn wonderfully points us to the hope that we have today, but in particular from our gospel reading, these verses. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to talk about this seemingly theological grenade that Jesus lobs in our gospel reading, talking about the sin against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin. And we learn from other passages in the Bible that it's a sin against the office of the Holy Spirit. It's a sin against the working of God to convert us and keep us in the faith. You could say the unforgivable sin is unbelief. It's similar somewhat to the idea, if you as a child or one of your children ever tried to run away from home, or somebody disowning their own family. It's not always just one event that caused the child to run away. It's not often one thing that causes someone to disown their family. Usually, it's a number of things. The saying, "the straw that broke the camel's back," comes to mind. You could also say this many times about divorce. Divorce is rarely ever just one sin or one event that causes the divorce. Usually it's multiple things over time. Well, how do you leave? And as we hear in our gospel reading, we hear Jesus and his family looking for him, and they were looking to corral him because they say he was acting crazy. So how do we leave the family of God? Jesus talks about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So if this theological grenade is so important, then we should probably think about that. So what is this sin against the Holy Spirit? We do have more parts in the scriptures that speak directly about this. But in particular today, we find it in Mark chapter 3, our gospel reading. And then also, we find it in Matthew chapter 12 and Luke chapter 12. This same saying that Jesus makes, although each gospel writer brings it a little different and has a few different words, they all contain the same warning. The warning against the sin, against the Holy Spirit. The author to the Hebrews mentions this sin against the Holy Spirit, and also the epistle that 1 John writes, he talks about this sin. So in actuality, we have quite a bit of information on this unforgivable sin, as mysterious as it may seem to many Christians. Pastor, what is the unforgivable sin? We hear how the sin against the Holy Spirit is, in the end, unbelief. However, very rarely is this sin against the Holy Spirit one particular sin. Like divorce and a child running away, it is rarely one particular sin, but it certainly can be. Often it is the repeated sin against the means by which the Holy Spirit works. It is not a particular sin exactly, but a sin against the office of the Holy Spirit. A sin against the means by which God gives faith and sustains that faith in us. So in our reading today, the context, we see Jesus healing people, preaching his word, and the scribes, which are Jews, the scribes respond to this work of Jesus, and they call out and say, "He is doing this by the devil." The scribes, they saw what Jesus had done. They heard what he said. It was plain to them who Jesus was. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the signs of the Messiah. They knew all of this in their mind and in their heart. They knew Jesus to be the Messiah, and they verbally cry out and say, "He's doing the work of the devil." It is to this that Jesus responds about the sin against the Holy Spirit. And this is one clue as to what the sin of the Holy against the Holy Spirit looks like, or rather, I should say, sounds like. It is orally spoken. Many times we Christians were afflicted because we have sinful thoughts. We may even question if Jesus is in control of our lives. We may cry out in prayer to God. We may even, at a time of weakness, believe that Jesus has lost control of things. That the devil assails our hearts and minds, and many times in our thoughts and in our hearts we doubt. We wonder. This is not a sin against the Holy Spirit. Jesus specifically says in Matthew's account, whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Today's reading shows this. Jesus is obviously working by the Holy Spirit. He was giving faith. He was healing people. He was preaching. And yet the scribes verbally assault the Holy Spirit. They deny the working of the Holy Spirit. They were convinced in their hearts that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, yet they said he was of the devil. The sin against the Holy Spirit is to declare the very works of God as the working of the devil. He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons. It is a sin that is more than just doubting the works of God, but an outright denial of the working of the Holy Spirit, and even crediting the devil for the Holy Spirit's work. What are the works and the working of the Holy Spirit? Well, last Sunday was Trinity Sunday, and we regularly confess what the works of the Holy Spirit are. What are the things that we should know come from the office of the Holy Spirit so that we don't speak against them? In the meaning of the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. What does this article mean? Turn in your hymnals, if you pull them out. Yeah, go ahead, unless you know it by memory. But turn to page 323. And this is why the meaning of the third article is part of our instruction in catechism. That we would know what the office and the works of the Holy Spirit are, so we would not commit this sin against the Holy Spirit. If you look on page 323 of your hymnal, the third article, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Here we have the office of the Holy Spirit clearly defined. This is why we have this as part of our catechism, so that you, dear Christian, know what the Bible says is the working of the Holy Spirit, that you may not speak against these things. What the Holy Spirit does and how He works, we have it clear by the guidance of the Holy Scriptures. God is not trying to trick you into committing the sin against the Holy Spirit. The devil is. Where we may find the office of the Holy Spirit is where we find the source of the living waters of faith. where a thirsty person may go to receive the nourishing waters of faith in the Holy Spirit. Calling these workings of the Holy Spirit that you just heard, His Word and Sacrament, the Christian Church, calling these the works of the devil, and embracing that belief with your heart, and knowing full well that is the work of God, that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, I'm worried that I may have committed this sin. I've not treated the office of the Holy Spirit with respect. I've not honored the work of God through the Word and Sacrament. I've neglected the Holy Christian Church. I've neglected the office. I've despised the church. Pastor, have I committed this sin against the Holy Spirit? The passage in Hebrews regarding the unforgivable sin helps us here. Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 8 says, "It is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to restore them again to repentance." Impossible to restore to repentance. So if you are afraid that you have committed the unforgivable sin, that is a sign that you have not committed it. Being sorry for your sins, repentance, this is only given by the Holy Spirit. Repentance is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we come into by some secret knowledge on our own, despising our sins and not liking them. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of judgment. The Holy Spirit shows us our sins. And that Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. So one sign that you have not committed this sin is that you are worried about it, that you are concerned about it, that you desire for God's Word to teach you where faith is found. When someone rejects God's clear Word on what is sin, and they continue in that sin and reject the Holy Spirit's judgment, then they are in danger of the sin against the Holy Spirit. This is why, and this month, you've seen it posted everywhere on social media and even television. This is why so-called Pride Month is so dangerous. It works to convince people that we humans can call what God calls a sin, we call it a way of life. And in fact, are even proud of it. This isn't just homosexual sin, but all sins of adultery, fornication, and pornography, even amongst those who are not attracted to the same sex. These sins are addictive, and they will work against the Holy Spirit. Living a life stuck in the sinful way of life is deadly for your sin, your faith. And approving of such things is just as wicked. Many of us have relatives and friends who live these types of prideful lifestyles. We must pray for them and do all we can to show mercy. However, we must never approve of open sin. Whether it's gay marriage or men and women living loose lives in open disregard for God's gift of marriage, the devil has done so much damage. God's gift of marriage, he has disrupted. And he has led many people to commit the sin against the Holy Spirit. This seems to be his way of working today. Pleasure over faithfulness to God's Word. Certainly, we've all heard Jesus' warning, if you've looked at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. If this is you, the difference is that we don't rejoice in our sin. We don't live in open pride of our sins. We hate our sins. Do you wish to be faithful and desire to change? That is a sign that you've not committed the sin against the Holy Spirit, and God will strengthen you. By the office of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will strengthen you where you see your shortfall, where you see yourself prideful in whatever sin that might be. Turn away. To a person who's committed the sin against the Holy Spirit, they don't care. They're indifferent to the Word of God. They could care less. Whoever, though, is sorry for their sins and desires forgiveness, they should take heart. They should be reminded of their baptism and that they are just going through a tribulation in this life, that the world and the devil is afflicting them with temptation, but to know that God always provides a way out. And that's the mercy and forgiveness of Christ. Again, another topic, the sin of the Holy Spirit is not a magnitude of sin. It's not a big sin versus a little sin. St. Paul points out that there is no sin too big in magnitude. He writes, "Where sin increased, grace increased all the more." The sin against the Holy Spirit is a rejecting of the means by which the Holy Spirit gives repentance, faith, and steadfastness: the Word of God and the sacraments. Daily examination of one's life before God's Word. This is the office of the Holy Spirit. It's not a particular sin against the Holy Spirit, but it is unbelief itself. The apostles themselves, they doubted and even denied Jesus. However, they were repentant. They wanted to change. They returned to Christ for forgiveness, unlike Judas, who did not. St. Paul in 1 Timothy 1 even refers to himself. He says, "Formerly, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." Paul committed the sin of blasphemy, of speaking even against Christ. But he was acting in blindness. He didn't know he was fighting against God. Paul spoke against Christ like Jesus' family did in our gospel reading today, like even maybe like you. The people who literally crucified Christ, what did Jesus pray for them? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did." The sin against the Holy Spirit involves knowledge of sin, which the scribes had, and a willful rejection of the Holy Spirit's works. So, can we see this sin? Can we point to it and look at it and say, there's the sin against the Holy Spirit? Well, it is the sin of unbelief. We cannot see it all the time. We can see evidence of it. But we as Christians do our best to heed the warnings of this sin and not work against the Holy Spirit. This is a concern of each Christian personally, and not to wrongly condemn others for what we cannot know in a person's heart. But we do see their actions. However, when you are burdened with your sins, God in His mercy has given us a great treasure. That it's not because you've committed a certain, that you haven't committed a certain sin that you go to heaven, but that Jesus has died for you and is calling you to return to His family always. That the victory of Jesus over sin and death is personally given to each one of us in baptism and the Lord's Supper, confession, and absolution, where the Holy Spirit works to strengthen you in the faith. That when the devil afflicts you, or maybe when your repentance begins to grow cold, don't run from Christ. Don't run from the working of the Holy Spirit, but run to Him. Find the office of the Holy Spirit where the word of Christ works. Find the office of the Holy Spirit in a Christian friend, your family, but especially me, your pastor. For God has given us these treasures, the Word of God, the sacraments, to know that He will never crush even a faintly burning wick. And we might say with the man in the Gospels, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.